What's going on, y'all? This is Leader Johnson. I'm your host with the most. So, yes, have a toast. Leader Johnson, and this is your post-game final leader, Villanova. Listen, man. Yes. It happens. The 76-72 win by Penn, the Big Five showdown. And this team came in here 2-1. Steve Donahue was a good coach. Penn has been getting good recruits for a long time. Nothing new. So, people are disappointed. I know. I mean, listen, Nova is a better team. If you choose to be disappointed, there's nothing wrong with it. But don't think like, you know, games like this can't happen. It's been upsets all year for teams this year. That happens all the time. And what you have to understand is that this team has not played together long enough for you to, for them to get that and have that mesh and just for you to give them that ultimate snatch, that ultimate slice. That's it. They're not good. No, you can't say that. But, okay, you can be disappointed that they didn't beat Penn. Because they're a better team. On paper, they're a better team. Let's talk about the comparison of the real comparison between 2018 and now. On paper, yes. But experience-wise, those guys, Jay Wright's system, had been in their system for a long time. All right, their system had been flourishing for a long time. You know, by the time 2018 came around, Jalen Brunson was in his junior year. Bridges, junior year. Redshirt sophomore, DiVincenzo. Okay, Phil Booth in his fourth year. You know, you had to see so many different ways that team was just totally different. And what I mean by that, we're talking about the experience, right? But the experience that they all been together. They all recruited together. The whole team recruited together. You know, this team came as transfers. Tyler Burton was the man at Richmond. T.J. Bamba was the man at Washington State. Hakeem Hart was a super, super big part of Maryland for a long time, recruited by Maryland. So now you, and then Lance Ware was with Kentucky. You talking about all these guys, they come in and they're together now, and you expect games like that not to happen. It's crazy. You know, games like this is what's going to build them. To lose these games, knowing they don't have the experience yet to beat certain teams. Tyler Perkins on Penn, a 3-star recruit, had a big time game, 22 points. If I said the name right, Clark Slager, I remember interviewing him. You know, he's a guy that could score, been with that team for a minute. Cameron Thrower, a sophomore, talked to him before for high level sports when he committed to Penn. These guys are all ready to play. And they have guys that have been there, all been together. They don't get no big transfer class. They got figured it all out, boom. So now these guys in Villanova, all super. They just got to all figure it out together. It's going to happen. That's just what happens. Speaking of Clark Slager, he got 11 points, 4 rebounds, 5 rebounds, 4 assists. Cameron Thrower, 11 points, 2 rebounds, hit 2 3-pointers. You know, guys that contribute for this team and that came in. Justin Moore at 25, man. He's Justin Moore. He definitely, he's here. Jordan Longino. Longino had 14. And Eric Dixon had 12-9. 12.9 rebounds. That was it. This team should have turned up the whole, better defense should have came around. But if anything, they could outscore this team. They had too many people. Bamba, Burton. Who was Bamba? Who was Burton? Who was Armstrong? It was hard. But also, you had to look at, I mean, Neptune hasn't figured this team out all the way either. He was throwing lineups in there. You saw he would put, like, Housing. He had small lineups. He had Housing and Armstrong in there for a little minute with some lineups, Burton and Bamba and Dixon. And then he'll switch it up. He had Longino. He wasn't even a big man in there. He just had a small lineup full of scores, like he didn't know what to do. But Nana Njoku, this is when Lance Ware and Nana Njoku, you have to give guys that protect the rim and command rebounding or make people work for that to, you know, tire teams out, to make teams know they got to fight, and so you can help the defense out. What if they do get the rebound battling for where? What if that happens? They get the rebound. Well, they battled them, and so now you got people all around them. And you got people that's going to guard the offense and get to the ball and put pressure on the offense and get the ball back. Then the other side, they get the rebound. Lance Ware has lived. Let him stay out there while you got four scores. You got so many scores on this team. There's so many different lineups you can do. You can put more in there with Bamba, with Burton, and Hart, just like that. All of them can score. Hart can handle the ball. Moore can handle the ball. Bamba can handle the ball. You let guys like that, but you got Ware in there just swatting shots, making sure he commands that you can get second chance points, making sure he's playing defense on the other team. Like, you have to let that happen. These small ball lineups are not winning basketball games. They started shooting terrible. They're missing shots. You have to get a guy that commands the post, gets you second chance points, and also plays defense. Ware can play defense on the perimeter. You know, people got to stand their ground, but one guy can command the post, create problems with his length. Where then Njoku can do it too. Njoku can block shots, can jump, can get rebounds. Never put these guys in to be mismatch problems, to be advantages. You know, with their strength, rebound, defense, clearing lanes, making people work. They needed that. They didn't have it. So that was the big thing. I just feel like Neptune hasn't figured out yet who he wants to use. Because you can also see how the offense was. You got too many offensive weapons there. And no way did anybody get put in a position to do what they had to do. And then once again, also, the shots that were taken weren't falling. It was like people were indecisive. So you have to understand, games like this is going to happen. 2-1, 21st in the nation, we'll see what happens, you know. But we know Villanova is going to be, listen, it's no question. This team's going to get together. Mark Armstrong figuring out, he's a real smart point guard. He's figuring out all his weapons. He's a sophomore point guard, but they know the confidence. Soon, Mark Armstrong is going, this is when this, everything's going to really, you're going to start seeing it. Well, Mark Armstrong starts figuring it out, this team's going to go to the next level. Mark my words, Villanova. Mark my words. And something else has to happen too, but when this one thing happens, I just said, Villanova goes on another level. Mark Armstrong figures it out and is able to distribute the ball, make people better around him, and score, and be him. This team goes to a whole nother level. It hasn't done that yet. Mark Armstrong hasn't scored, you know, like that, or has a command, you know, with his scoring ability. He showed flashes, but he hasn't figured it out just yet. When that happens, oh, man, this is going to be a fun team to watch. Now, the next thing I have to say, we'll make them a championship team. With Mark Armstrong figures it out, they're a Final Four team. Great. I think they can be a great eight. That's why I'm picking great eight. But this team could be Final Four. But to be a championship team, this will have to happen. I don't know if it's going to happen. I don't know if Neptune will put it in play. But Njoku and Ware have to get minutes at center and be able to let Eric Dixon do the four, sometimes the five. Sometimes you can put Ware at the four. You can put Njoku at the four. They have to be able to get in there, play defense, attack the lanes, protect the rim, be physical. Be good on it, didn't make offensive plays. I'm seeing something. I saw, oh, it was so hilarious. One of my Twitter followers, commenters, whatever, said they don't have any scoring ability. Lance Ware doesn't have scoring ability. He's a post threat. What are we talking about right now? He definitely can score. You're just looking at his career and where he was put in the place. Like I tell people all the time, once again, I tell this one more time. K Kentucky brings 5 stars in every year. He isn't the only high 4-star, top 50 player that the Kentucky put down and put his minutes to the side and let 5 stars take it. And now transfer portal? Oh, my God. So where, yes, he's an athletic player, plays above the rim. He can play in the post. He has a mid-range jumper. Where's that guy? Njoku is not only a guy that is super athletic, can score in the post, same mid-range jumper skills. Then Njoku was working on a three-point shot coming from high school. Not saying they're going to put him out there, not just yet, but then Njoku is a guy that can score in many ways in the post from at least 15 feet. Very talented player, but that's not what they can score, but that's not what they need him essentially for. Defense, rebounding. This will change the game. Playing in transition, playing alley-oops, rebound putbacks. They don't have to get set up for points like Burton and Hart. Those guys can focus on scoring. You know, you look at Archie Diakono, he doesn't have to get, listen, that's not what they need him for. Us no more now. So too many scores to even worry about Archie Diakono. He's going to play good defense, going to make smart decisions, and he can hit some outside shots. But he's, as far as the scoring options go, he's not the guy you focus on. He's just a guy like, oh, there's the Archie Diakono, wide open, three. But he's not the guy that's going to be getting those scoring options. It's Bamba. That's Housen, that's Longino, that's Burton, that's Moore, that's Dixon, Armstrong. The guys like Archie Diakono and Ware and Njoku, those guys, and I think Ware get more involved too. I think Neptune's trying to find their way to get all the guys transferred this year involved. That's just a deep bench, man. To have Housen and Longino on your bench is big, and you got Hakeem Hart. I mean, this team, once it figures it out, this is going to be a dangerous team. Now, I can't predict, like I said, the championship is if Ware and Njoku are involved. They have to get them two involved. There's such a disadvantage when you got two big men. Yes, Njoku can score. I wish Neptune would put him in action. Njoku can score. He can get you in the post. He can be a monster in the post. Once he gets up, people are going to be like, oh, man, then Lance Ware, another guy. Another guy. You put him in there to score, he can. Nova has to set these guys loose. They would have had a total disadvantage against Penn. But Big Five is ready, man. Big Five is ready. I talk a lot more about that. I have a podcast out about the Big Five going down, breaking down things about the Big Five. Very, very huge, huge year for Neptune. But the thing is, he's going to succeed. This team's too good. And you're going to see ups and downs like that. Also, Villanova football. Man, Connor Watkins really, he started out kind of up and down. And man, he's just turned this thing around. Jalen Jackson, Rajuan Pringle, those are your 1-2-3s. You still got Jalen Sanchez. You still got Jaron Hyatt. You still got TD Adorijai. You still got D. Will Barley. Then Ragland and Mace, Jabriel Mace. I mean, man, if you don't see, we haven't even seen Eli Smith yet. Like, this is an unbelievable, Isaiah Wright. Like, this is an unbelievable running back room. They continue to keep. And then I remember when Villanova football was recruiting guys like Kyle Fay and Jake Picard and Nicholas Torres. And they built this offensive line so good. I mean, they just had a good one not too long ago. I mean, when Daniel Smith was here, you know, they had a good line then. And then it was time for the new guys to see if this recruiting really worked. Right? That's always the thing. Okay, here we go. Let's see if these guys are good. And they are. Like, man, you got Timmy, you got Michael Corby still there. That's huge. Corby, having him on this unit, back on this unit, is huge. This is just a good unit, man. I really like this unit. And there are more guys like I said, Kyle Faye, Jaden Rollins, guys to come. It's still got big time talent. This line staying good and talented is with the base. And also, this is the year. I mean, it's been some solid defensive lines. But Penny Packer has a real good one. Shout out to Capri Martin. He's going to be good. You saw him get his sack. Jay Great Wine, Cam Cognine this year. Jay Green, Aiden Howard, all these guys are ready. This is a good line. This is a good, talented defensive line that no one's ever had one. I mean, seriously. I remember when they recruited Green and Aiden Howard. Aiden Howard, 3-star. You know, they just got so many different talents you could throw in there. You know, then you got Obina. So I'm really liking this defensive line to start the new era, another stretch era. Like kind of like James Franklin's doing with Penn State. It's another era with the Drew LR. And it's a new, with the Drew LR and the Nicholas Singleton and the Catron Allen. It's another era. It's another era with Penn State. But now with Villanova, you having D. Will Barley, you having TDA or Durajai, you having guys like, man, Isaiah, I just didn't think Isaiah Ragland was ready right now. I mean, I knew them guys were talented, but man, this is so good. And it also showed you how good the offensive line is. Look at the year Watkins is having. Watkins started out kind of shaky. Now he's just been tough. He's been the total difference maker in these games. He's been accurate. He's been running the football. He's been the total difference maker each game. And then what he did against Townsend, what they did against Townsend was big. I mean, you see Stony Brook wasn't a team that won any game, right? So you look at that. But what they did to Townsend was very impressive. Very impressive. Even more than Elon, which they shut out Elon. Like, this team has shown. This is a team, you just got to see where it's at, because Rajerron Pringle is hard. Look, Rajerron Pringle is hard to guard. One-on-one, he's probably the most explosive receiver in all of college football. Very explosive. Takes the top. I could see him getting drafted. He's just too explosive. I mean, and Villanova's had some Dez Boykins. I mean, they've had some guys. But this guy is ultra electric. Jaren Hayek is an unbelievable receiver. And Jalen Sanchez is another speed demon. And they got so many other guys coming, like Daniel Lopez and Ethan Carr, you know, Nathaniel Hill and Keon Miles. They got so many other good receivers coming in the forefront in the future that are going to be big time. So this is going to be something to see. And then you still got Tanner Maddox in the background, who is destined to be that next quarterback. He's the guy everybody likes, and looks like he's the next quarterback in line. So, this is a very exciting offense. And don't forget the tight ends. Tonio Johnson and Mitchell Bockwell still here. 2 3-star tight ends that are going to develop. I see that as an unbelievable, scary matchup. I think next year more. They haven't did it this year, but I think next year they're going to figure it out, have both these guys on the field making plays. And they have a new line of offense coming. Now, the defense, like I said, I mean, Bell and Abraham have done a great job. But Turner Inge is a guy to look out for. And that's one guy. Watch out for Turner Inge. That guy is going to be a standout linebacker. Hartsell still here. Him and Turner Inge are going to be super good. J.R. Strauss is a guy I'm looking at another guy, 3-star. Let's see, he'll have his time. This could be one of the better talented linebacking cores in a minute. This one's an okay, good linebacking core. You know, Abraham's good. Brandon Bell's good. You know, Jordan Nelson's good. But we're talking about some. Turner Inge is a super dynamic player to go with Hartsell. So I just like this team. Delaware, this is big. I mean, how much bigger do you get? Delaware, and then they're both elite this year. They're both super elite this year. So this is going to be big. Once again, we're looking at recruiting. Everybody relax. It's not going to be a rush. But Villanova, it's the Will Riley show right now. I mean, they're looking at other guys. You know, so many guys are checking out. Point guards, Jordan Lowry, Dante Allen. You know, they had the Villanova Hoops Mania. Checking out the top three, the trio for Penn Charter. I'm talking about the Villanova basketball. Checking out the trio, Jake West, the point guard. Kyle Schenholster and Matt Gilho. They're looking at a lot of people. Now, I did put out something. I'm glad I thought of that to say to y'all. Villanova, what's up, Villanova? Yes, there is a resurgence in the ability for them to possibly get another player. I'm not even going to tell you the position right now because I've been told to keep it shut. So I'm going to keep it shut. The same thing I did when I talked to one, I'm not even going to tell you I talked to last year when I was telling y'all, look, there's a guy in the 2023 class Villanova's trying to look and get before they even got Jordan Dumont. It was a guy they were looking at. I can tell you now, I was talking to one of the coaches. I won't say who it is. And they were telling me he was a foreign player. That they were going to work out, that they were trying to see if they liked them. But, you know, one of the coaches said they took him to see the head coach, and the head coach wasn't trying to pursue him. You know, they were trying to get a private workout with him and everything. And no, it wasn't Alex Tui. Asked him, was it him? Because that was a guy they were recruiting. But this was some other guy. He didn't even want to tell me the name. But it was one of the assistant coaches. He told me I was in contact with him on my phone. This go around, you won't know nothing. Just know Villanova is looking at, they are looking at the possibility of getting a player. And he's already, I can say this though. I can say this. He is already committed. He's a 2024 commit that's already committed. So, that's where we're going on that, people. And as I'm not forced to let nothing out there. I'm not going to tell you no position. Just know that Villanova is going to, looking into getting another recruit for, so best believe, even though they feel like this was the last one, the only reason this could be made because this is an important type of talent, a real explosive type of talent. If they can get this guy, and I'm going to tell you like this, what do I think about it? I think they can get him because I think the momentum and culture outweighs everything. You want to know how I found out about this? I'm not even going to tell you. Just say a close source of the source. And so, I've been knowing this person for a long time. And I will tell you who that person is. I don't even want to give it away because if I say that, then y'all could even find out. So I'm not even going to say who the person is. No type of clues or anything. So this is big because I'm really cool. I really know these people and I'm cool with them. And I've been knowing them for a minute and I'm like, dang, this would be unbelievable. So this is something. This is everybody just hang tight. I just don't, that's how I keep my sources because I don't tell things until I'm able to. I've had situations where in the past where I've told some things I didn't know they didn't want me to tell. Like, I remember James Franklin. I was talking to James Franklin on Twitter. And he was like, I didn't want something out, something like that out. I forgot. What was it? The situation they had. Was it a safety? It wasn't Lamont Wade. Asheem Young. I think that was his name. Asheem Young. Some situation happened with him. And he was talking to me about the situation. And I went out and reported on my Twitter. He was like, man, I didn't want you to put that out there. So that kind of was, you know, you just got to know when to be quiet, you know. So after that, I've been like this for a minute. So I'm not going to tell anyone unless it happens. And then I'm going to go into the story of how it all went down, okay? So I'm out of here, y'all. It's Leader Johnson, your boy. be talking about more things. NBA draft talk, I'm really on that. And I'll be talking about some things like, what do I think the Eagles should do in the NFL draft? I always say Travis Hunter. I'm going to talk about why on the next file later. I'm out, y'all. Yes, we are back for the second segment. I just want to break down some things. It's some good things to break down about a couple of things that second segment had to be done on behalf of Villanova Sports. First off, shout out to the women's team, man. Lucy Olsen is balling. I mean, the thing about her is that I'm really interested to see just how electric she gets this year. How many, does she have a 40-point game this year? But she's really a hell of a scorer. She's been like this since high school. Excuse me, y'all, if y'all hear me a little bit. I've been a little sick. And all y'all out there in the PA, something going around, people getting sick. Big cold for me. I've been working my butt off, but trying not to stop. Couple of days, y'all might not have saw me on the internet. I'm dealing with a bad cold, whatever it is. But I'm here. Back. And like I said, I mean, this Bella Ryan, they got Zanai Jones. Jesus, I mean, with Maddie, Christina Doss, like, this is a team here that this is what they choose to do with their starting five. It's going to be something to see just what they do with Danae coming off the bench and girls like Abby coming off the bench. And it's just a lot of good players on this team. And the starting five is something to look at. And I'm really interested to see. They seem like they're ready. They're in full pursuit. And Coach Denise Dillon is on a mission. Not only that, she's attacked recruiting even harder. So this is big here. So that's real big of them. Had to give them love. Shout out. First, you know, Villanova football, we talk about them. Because we're going to get to the basketball thing real quick. You know, I did a lot. I got a podcast on both the women's basketball and football solely by itself, each one. So I will be releasing those. But they got football prospects on Villanova football, and we'll get to that on their podcast. But let's go to the Villanova thing, what I want to do this part two for. First off, I know, man, Twitter followers are, but I just do this to answer questions because Twitter followers will say stuff, and they're not educated. They're just out there saying stuff because they want to try to contradict you, and they don't even do their own homework. They're not even into this. They're not into the homework part. They're not into this. They're not into, like, really doing analyst work or nothing. So let's keep this 100% 100. For those who, you know, I've seen, you know, talk about grandma or some of my writing. Don't read. Don't read. You know, some people go specifically there to pinpoint stuff about Leader John. Don't read, man. You don't like what you see. You don't like what you read. You could stop. You had to read the whole thing or nothing. You the fool. That's like saying, man, your food is nasty, but you always eating it. What's going on? But all right, the next thing is Trey Patterson is injured, man. I don't know if nobody knows this. If you a Villanova fan, you don't know Trey Patterson's recovering from an injury. One guy hit me up on DM. He was like, man, I thought you said Trey Patterson was going to get time, and I just ignored it. And you know what I mean? I'm like, what in the world did he just say? So he don't know it, not at all, that Trey Patterson ain't played in no scrimmage games. He ain't played in no blue-white games. So he going to play in the season game all of a sudden. Man, that's crazy. But I just wanted to say that Trey Patterson's hurt, man. We don't know when he's going to return. It's possible they could medical redshirt him. Very possible. So we'll see how that goes. I think they should. Because Jordan Dumont, nobody said nothing about Jordan Dumont. He's not, but maybe because I mentioned Trey Patterson the most, I guess. Jesus Christ. But these are two guys that both could redshirt. I think they should. There's no question. Jordan Dumont's too talented to waste a year just sitting on the bench and not doing nothing. And then there you go. So I'm totally for that. And Trey Patterson is hurt. I think they should let him sit out. He should sit out. He should sit out. It's an injury. Let him recover all year. That's it. Now, I'm not sure. I haven't been told a timetable, but if there is a timetable, it shouldn't be one. It should be next year. They have a lot of people. They're deep. For people who said they're not deep, you just don't watch basketball. You sit in conversations with people and agree with them. You don't watch basketball. You don't know basketball. So I don't respond to people that say that. You know, I do things to sharpen up my debating skills because they're easy. Like, you give me food for thought. I can easily battle you in debate when you give me food for thought. If there's something hard to debate about, that would take more of a physical between me and you. You know what I mean? Because a lot more words need to be said because I have to debate and put on top. But when it's easy to debate, it's easy to debate. Villanova losing to Penn, I said that, and I told you so many times. One, I saw one Twitter follower said, we should have Jay Wright. I don't think Coach Neptune is of the expectations. I'm like, what is wrong with you Coach Wright lusters? You don't love Coach Wright. You can't possibly love him because he's not coming back. You don't want a coach. And then you're insulting the person that he chose. You keep on talking about Jay Wright could coach and make the decisions. He made this choice. Jay Wright made this choice. The one that everybody is, he would be the coach we need. Bring him back. Well, he made this choice. So either you love him or you don't. Gosh, you got to be the stupidest. It's some of the stupidest people I ever heard in my life. You can't half love somebody. Oh, bring Jay Wright back. He coaches. We don't respect his coaching decision. We want him to coach. He's not coming back. He's not coming back. He's not coming back. He's not coming back. I'm trying to put that in everybody's ears so they don't just, you know. You look stupid. You look retardedly stupid. Let me tell you something that's even unbelievable. Coach Wright left at the drop of a dime. He didn't tell y'all Villanova fans. He didn't tell y'all nothing. He didn't give it wasn't a farewell tour. You didn't get a chance to appreciate that he was leaving. He bunked out. Oof, I'm not doing this. And you know why? You talk about the expectations. Coach Wright didn't want to coach this era. Coach Wright did not want to deal with NIL. He barely wanted to deal with one and done. You know, when you had to convince recruits, we're not doing one and done. I'm not going to put you in because you're a five-star, because you could be a one and done. You're coming here to develop and learn and earn your spot. That was Jay Wright. So then you talk about how much y'all going there at Neptune. How come ain't none of y'all going there? It's crazy. I'm just thinking at the bias of everything. How come y'all not going at Jay Wright for just leaving y'all like that? I mean, it's like having a baby, right? It's like having a baby and just saying, oh, I'm out of here. The baby loves you. It's been 3 years. Daddy, daddy. And you just up and leave. And like, damn, then you got somebody. This is your new daddy. What? Yes, he's a good father. He raises the other kid and you'll be with them. Here's with your new parents. Now, I'm not saying I'm doing that. I'm just saying that's a little biased to come at Neptune about coaching a team. That he just got a whole new team together. They just won two straight games. Oh, those teams are not, but they won them. They won. We're talking about the teams and all this, and they won. You can't complain about a 2-1 team. Now, if that team loses three straight, if they lose two more games in a row, they have Villanova and they got Merlin coming up. It should be a harder game. They just looking at that game, and we're going to be real, you know, Neptune didn't know what to do. I'm just being unbelievably real. He has good players. Guys were missing shots too. They were missing shots. It is what it is. And like I said before, St. John's was like 11-13. Ended up 16-17. Actually, that year they started off real good. It was like 8-1. Through the first 9 games, it was going real good. Then that team lost like 11 in a row. 11 in a row. They were a horrible, like, they were the, this is a team, listen, we're talking about 2018. They had Shamari Pines that year. We're talking about 2018, who also played for the Sixers in the G League. Shamari Pines, shout out to Shamari Pines. If we're looking at that team should not even have been on the level of a 2018 Villanova. You remember what Villanova did that year. There's no way in hell that St. John should have beat Villanova that year. No way in hell. But at, by that time, though, y'all looked at the team, and Villanova hadn't lost many games. And I mean, y'all was like, oh, there's an upset. That's how y'all do it. Oh, Jay Wright, well, there's a, he had a championship already. So y'all was all cool with that. Now y'all looking at the first loss of the season to a Penn team who's very competitive. You know what I mean? And the Big Five all through is Drexel's the only 1-1 team. Everybody else 2-0. St. Joe's 2-0. Temple 2-0. LaSalle 2-0. Now Villanova's 2-1. Could have been 3-1. Just like Penn is. They only lost by 4 points. Y'all expecting Villanova to come and dominate from the top, which is unreasonable because this team just got together. That Villanova 2018 team had been together, had a coach that had put the system into the program already. Those guys had been around each other. Some of them had been around a championship. What is wrong with y'all by saying Jay Wright? Jay, there was a time y'all was going at Jay Wright for losing games, going to the tournament, and he was looking good in the season. I remember I talked to Coach Anderson. He was like, man, it was a time they was asking for Jay Wright's job. Shut the hell up. Everybody's going against Neptune. Shut up. Shut the hell up. Nobody cares about you. The only reason I do this podcast and alert there is because there are other people that could follow your stuff. Now, they're probably not educated. They're probably listening to you. Don't listen to those chumps. They probably got bad lives, and they got to down somebody. They're not down to Jay Wright. They're down in the postman. Oh, why is he on this block? Why can't be another block? That's the type of argument that sounds like when you go against Villanova for losing their first loss. Oh, boy, is he even supposed to be over here? Oh, my God. My mail hasn't came yet. Oh, my God. Jesus. Shut up. Man. Y'all sound so retarded. I mean, this is a first loss? Damn. Oh, they're going. Then when they was 2-0, oh, these are teams that are. Okay, well, they lost by 4 to a good team. Which, if they play Villanova again, they wouldn't beat Villanova. That's just what it is. Penn took advantage. They were a team that was more ready, more together. Villanova wasn't ready. For you to click early in the season, Jesus Christ. Oh, my God. Oh, my God, man. That sounds retarded, man. It really sounds retarded. Like, I just don't know what to say to y'all. It don't even sound right. You know what I mean? They won 2 games. They blew out teams. And then you say again, I mean, American U is a tough Patriot League team. They assaulted them. But Penn's a better team. Penn's number one in the Ivy League also. So what are we talking about, man? They play Villanova every year. You know, and this team hasn't found that identity yet because looking at those 2 wins they had, and like I said before in the first segment, man, y'all listen to the first segment. Yeah, until Mark Armstrong figures it out, this team's going nowhere. I'm not blaming nothing on him. I'm just saying he's trying to figure it out. He's a sophomore guard. He's going to figure it out. That's the first thing. He's going to. He's just getting used to all his weapons and players. You know, you look at Justin Moore. He had a big game. Tyler Burton didn't have a big game. That's the coach's fault. We have to get all the scorers involved. Get them in the right position to score. They shot bad. Also, it was a bad shoot. This is another thing. I mean, it was a bad shoot night. And I think Villanova should have worked the post. You have the players, just not the big guys in Njoku. We need to rebound in the defense to get the second chance to bully people in the middle to, you know, rebound in defense, the most part. Make people change their direction, change their shot. But another thing is the post. I mean, Eric Dixon started to kick up. He had 12 points. The post. Moore in the post. Hart in the post. Burton in the post. Like, What are we doing? Seriously, what are we doing? And it'll only be a matter of time. I mean, I'm not blaming chopping at Neptune. I'm just addressing the facts of what I see. What are we doing, man? What are we doing? It's a lot of good players. Got to get them involved. Got to get the post involved. Like, Lance Ware can back any of them guys down in the pen, and he could have scored 12 and 11. That post was nothing compared to Lance Ware. Then Njoku could have worked the post. He just hasn't worked those guys in there. And he needs to do it. This team is way more talented. I think the only thing is this is another thing. Neptune just got these weapons. You put your offense in there, he has to figure out these guys. When guys are not hitting, which guy to put in, where to put them at, where's their hot spot at, you know, where to set up an offense, to where's your – he hasn't figured that part out yet. There was an interview he had recently. It's on YouTube. And he talked about most – when he talked about Villanova, he talked about Justin Moore 100% of the time. He said, my best post player, Justin Moore. My best passer, Justin Moore. My best ball handler, Justin Moore. Everything with Justin Moore. If that is the truth, then there's a problem. There is a big problem. He had 25 points, and they still didn't win. Everything with Justin Moore. You try to let Justin Moore bring it together, it didn't happen. You got to get everyone else involved. Everyone is not – your best ball handler is not Justin Moore. It's Mark Armstrong. Your best post player is not Justin Moore. It's Eric Dixon. Like, stop this, man. There's too many other guys that are on this team that can play. Your best shooter is not Justin Moore, but your best all-around player, no question, is Justin Moore. Because he can do everything effectively more than anybody else could do everything effectively. Yes, he can ball handle. He can post you up. He's smart. He can defend. If your best defender is Justin Moore, with all those athletes and that size, there's a problem. So all it is he's figuring it all out. That is all it is. He trusts Justin Moore more than anybody on his team right now. He knew Justin Moore coming back was huge. So him giving him the credit is also a big weapon. Like, thanks for coming back, giving athletes appreciation for coming back. Sign that NIL deal, being that number one guy. He talked about Eric Dixon, too. He talked about Eric Dixon. Talked about how much he's developed and how good he's got. But that was after the Justin Moore. He didn't say he was the best this. Who do I get the ball to? No. Justin Moore was all that. So now we're going to see how that goes. So we out of here, man. Listen, I want to give y'all a second segment. Just show you a couple of things, man. I'm out of here. Follow the leader.